click it too quick. There.
Finding out things this little thing can do. Can be a dangerous tool. All right. Well, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the goal is to finish up today. So we have three more etiquette things. Paul's etiquette process that is ideal for the Christian. And I'm going to read verses 23 and 24, and it kind of sets the tone for this next go-around. It says, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. Thank you for your blessings, and thank you for the truth that we read into your word. And understand, Father, that this is the truth. Men may say that they don't believe it, but Father, it does not change the truth that is there. It does not change the fact that it is our guidance for us to live by, and deep down inside, men do live by a code, and Father, that code is established by you. But yet many suppress it. Many try to live their own life. They live for themselves, and Father, as we see through this, that oftentimes Christians can live a life for themselves as well and affect their testimony and may even create a stumbling block for others. Father, I thank you now that you give us wisdom and direction through your lessons that you show us, that what the Apostle Paul's presented, and as we study through these next few verses and understand a type of principles that we can apply to ourselves that will help us help others and to build up others, as well as building ourselves up. And Father, we ask it for your Son's sake, and in his precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. So when we left off last week, we talked about separation, and, you know, a lifestyle here says stay close to God and far from potentially harmful situations. And it reminded me a story, I guess, years ago. I guess it was a princess was looking for a bodyguard and wanted to make sure that she was well protected. So what she did, she chose several people for this. And essentially what she wanted them to do was to be carried on their shoulder. She says, I want you to tell me, walking up this along this cliff, how close will you get to the edge? And one guy goes, oh, I can get right up to the edge and get right there, and you'll be just as safe as can be. Another guy goes, I'm going to stay as far away from it as I can. She goes, I want you for my bodyguard. And that's the thing, is Christians oftentimes like to flirt with danger. Why? I don't know. But, you know, some people like to do that, and of the many things, they will push their liberties. And in doing so, you know, we'll get into an area where is it edifying? And, you know, we can do lots of things. And here, the Apostle Paul's trying to point out that he was trying to differentiate between what was lawful and what is expedient or profitable, between what is lawful and what will edify. In other words, you know, is it just because you can do it doesn't mean that it's helpful for a weaker Christian or helpful to your testimony. And we can think of a lot of activities that some of us do that aren't edifying to people, but yet we do them. But what he's trying to let us understand is that oftentimes it's not going to help somebody else. Somebody else may not be edified by that when they partake of it. And so he says, do I have the right to do this? But how will this impact somebody else? And when it's talking, you know, down here, you know, but every man it says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You know, I guess that could fall into the wealth distribution thing that the last administration was trying to put out. You know, looking for everybody else's money. You know, political thing thrown in there. But anyway, what he's doing is he's giving a caution to abusing liberty. And abusing it in lawful situations. And again, he's still around the area of meats offered to idols, because we're going to talk even more about this in the next little bit. But he said, a Christian, you know, if we're going to partake of something, and say a weaker Christian or another Christian, doesn't have to be a weaker one, you know, he must not seek our own, but the neighbor's wealth, or in other words, care or livelihood. Is it going to affect them? What I do is going to affect them. You know, and there are a lot of things that we, like I said, that we do that others would not want to do. And by doing them, you know, is it wrong? No. But he wants us to think about, will I be hurting somebody else if I ask somebody to partake in this? You know, we can think of a lot of things. Going to a movie. And or going to certain restaurants. There are some people that will not go to any restaurant that serves alcoholic beverages. And it's just, that's what they've decided. And if you invite them, and they have their reason for it, they may say, I'm not going to go there. Please don't invite me. Could we find another place? And think about, oh yeah, we could go somewhere else. That would be just fine. A person that's thoughtful of others would think about that. You know, maybe it is your favorite one because they got the greatest steak in town or the greatest food in town, just because they have other activities going on. A lot of people today would probably have very few places that they could go eat, for instance, that doesn't serve an alcoholic beverage. But if somebody's offended by it or has a concern, you wouldn't want to go there. So we need to consider others. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out here, is edification in that I'm thinking of others. You know, those who allow themselves in everything that's plainly not sinful in itself will often run into what is evil by accident. That's a possibility. And to do much mischief to others. So going into some place or partaking of an activity that in and of itself isn't bad, but has the potential for it. Going to a motorcycle rally, or going to certain races, or going to coming up shortly is a country music concert up in Sweet Home. You know, those types of things. Really, there's nothing that wrong with it, but you might run into evil activity because it's always a potential. Now, do we have to be celibate and just kind of, you know, in our activity and how we go? Well, no, you just exercise caution. Think about them before they go there. And the welfare of others, as well as our own convenience, must be consulted in many things we do if we want to do them well. So in other words, we want to think about things before we do them. And that's what the Apostle Paul's thinking about. He says, you know, we're like we talked about back in chapter 6. You know, we're no longer under the Old Testament law. Many of the Jews, you know, and Pastor was teaching on it just recently in Romans 14 about we are not under those Old Testament laws. But yet there are still others out that believe in the traditions of those. Going to the feast in themselves is not a problem. And the Old Testament law, they didn't do idol worshiping. But the pagans now, they say, well, going to the feast, well, that means I should be able to go to this thing. If tradition-wise, if nothing is, you know, all things being the same. Well, they're having their feast over here. I can go have feast over here. And that may be true, but the person might want to think about, well, what impact is it going to be on somebody that maybe just came out of one of these or the other? And that will impact their walk maybe that person will fall easily prey to it. And that's the concern the Apostle Paul is trying to point out. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." And Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." And then back in 1 Corinthians 9:21 says, "To them that are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law." The goal is the Apostle Paul is trying to win those lost people, strengthen the weaker, and teach some of the older ones to think about it. Because some of them walk around going, "Yeah, I can do whatever I want to do. I don't care. I'm going to do it." Sadly, when a person comes from some countries and becomes an American citizen, all of a sudden, "Man, I could do whatever I want to do." I worked with several Russians that had that thought. "I can do whatever I want to do. You cannot tell me I can't do that." Well, it affected their work habits because they would take an engineer's drawing and says, "I can do whatever I want to do. You can't tell me what to do." You know, it's like, "Excuse me, he designed it, you didn't. You need to follow his rule." "Well, I don't have to do that." "Well, okay, well, if you don't do it, you're going to suffer the consequences." One guy did. He had to go fly out on his own dime to go fix the mess that he made up because he didn't follow the instructions. And a lot of times people do that now. A lot of people, "I don't have to obey that law. I can do what I want to do." Well, if you drive, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour up Kings Boulevard, you're going to probably have a problem. You know, if you make it through, that's fine, but you might hit somebody. You might, you know, if you don't get caught by the police. So what he's really trying to do is just think about it, you know. And so one of the questions here, and verse 24, we said, the question is, how does this verse speak to the idea that we need to be true to who we are and to feel free to express ourselves without inhibitions? But Lisa?
I had had that this is not how we build a relationship or draw nigh to our Father, nor to other Christians, nor to draw or have an impact on the world, that it's contrary to God's goals. And then, of course, the 2 Corinthians 10:5 is that we're supposed to even bring our thoughts into captivity.
Right. Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah. So we need to seriously think about, you know, that we have a responsibility as believers. You know, and true, we can do what we want to do. Do I have to be up here in a suit and tie? No, I choose to. It's respectful. Am I going to be up here in, you know, cutoffs, flip flops, and, you know, a Hawaiian shirt? Well, that might be okay in Brother Nick's church over in Hawaii. Because that's a normal, acceptable dress, you know. Formal occasion over there is white pants and white shoes with a Hawaiian shirt. That's formal. You know, that's the equivalent to a suit and tie. So it's interesting. And I have fun with Brother Nick when he sends pictures. I says, "So you still got your flip-flops on when you're up teaching?" You know. But I'm excited. But the thing is what is acceptable in one area might not be acceptable in another area. And that's what we have a responsibility. We want to be, as Lisa was saying, to bring our minds under subjection to what God wants us to do or what he would have us to do and what glorifies him. Because guess what? We edify others. Let the edification of fellow believers guide Christian liberty. And the next one, conscience. Well, we got one more after that one that's going to talk about glorification. And with conscience, and this is the verses 25 through 30 is what I've kind of laid out. It says, "Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake." And this whole section right here talks about, don't ask questions about the food. You know, some people go into a restaurant and want to know, okay, how'd you prepare that? Well, you might not want to know how they prepared it. Because he might tell you, well, you know, we go out and we get the animal, we take it in and we butcher it, then we do this, and, you know, and the next, you know, I don't want to have any, no. I just want to know, you know, how'd you fix it? What, you know, what spices did you use? Not where did it come from? Because some of these people, the pagan priests, part of theirs, just like with the Levites, they were given a portion of the sacrifice. They could do with what they wanted with it. And a lot of these priests were selling it in the marketplace. Nothing wrong with the meat as far as a Christian was concerned. Hey, you know, everything's good for me. I mean, there's certain animals I wouldn't eat. But, you know, Peter was told otherwise. I don't think I'd eat possum. I draw the line at, you know, certain things. You know, if you don't tell me what it is, I might eat it. You know, it's always fun to watch people's faces when you tell them what the food is after they eat it. You know, but the thing is he tells them, he says, what is sold in the shambles, and it talks about that further on. This is verse 26, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And that's a quote from Psalms 24:1 that says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So essentially all that's on this earth is food for us. That's, you know, vegetables, you know, which is food for the food, as a lot of people put. Sorry, Lisa. Oh, she does eat some meat, I'm sure. If it's on pastor's plate, we know that. Yeah. That's what I like. Good dinner with Pastor Lisa, and she won't order anything that has meat on it, but if it's on his plate, she'll check it to make sure it's right. To make sure it didn't come, to make sure it wasn't offered idols. Yeah, it's okay. That's a good way to put it. But you know, but it's the whole of this is that it says, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. In other words, you know, a lot of these people, they were business associates. They were being invited into homes of pagans, or, you know, unsaved, you know, non-believers, and some believers, and they served meat that was offered to idols. Now, if somebody that's with you, you know, if they don't know, they're going to probably partake, but if, like, some of them actually had a brand mark on them that they could see that the meat had been offered, they probably, you know, for their conscience, they wouldn't eat. But if they don't tell you where the meat came from, and most good hosts wouldn't say, oh yeah, by the way, I got it, you know, down the road here. I mean, I draw the line. You know, somebody goes, oh yeah, that, you know, we picked that up on the way home, literally on the way home. It was roadkill. I'd probably draw the line there. But you know, these people were not telling you that it was, even if it was. Maybe it was just what they call a common feast. It wasn't a religious. It was a public offering. Well, like a lot of churches and organizations have, open to the public, things, people coming in, and they have food and beverages and, you know maybe games, you know, a fair of some sort, and to partake of what's there. If they're not saying, you know, the sign says, oh, by the way, this meat is this kind of meat, you know, eat of it. But what they're talking about is, don't let your conscience, you know, let your conscience be your guide in this essence, and that if somebody's a weaker person, they probably wouldn't eat of it. But yet they're saying that, you know, but if any man, verse 28 says, if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, for the conscience sake of the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what they're trying to point out is that, oh, I'm a Christian, and it might be an opportunity to open the door to witness to them. But you thank them politely and say, I think I'll pass on that. And that would be because the person might recognize you as a Christian and know that there is a concern. And they might say, well, this has been offered, you know, do you still want to partake? And the Christian would probably say, I'll pass on that one. And it might open an avenue for witnessing, because that's what the whole goal of the Apostle Paul is laying out is, what will draw that person to ask the question about salvation? Well, why don't you eat of that? And you can tell them why. And this person would tell them. This is conscience. I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is thy liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? And what they're trying to state here is, he's not telling you not to, but you probably might not want to be a witnessing tool. Not to be obnoxious and say, hey man, no way, I'm not going to eat that junk. Because here in a couple of verses, verse 32 says, give none offense, neither to Jew nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. And even to the person that might want to know about salvation, don't offend them. You might say, thank you, no. You know, sometimes you go to happenings around here, and there's going to be free samples of beer. And, you know, people are always offering, no, thank you, you know, just, and politely. You know, oh, that stuff's bad for you. You don't, you know, I mean, you might not make it too far. But, you know, politeness. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling. He says, you know, don't ask questions, and don't, you know, if you're invited, don't, you know, be inquisitive enough. If the person's not volunteering, fine, eat of it. But then but there might be a weaker person goes, well, I know that guy, he's part of that group over there. And that weaker Christian goes, well, then I guess let's just move on and try something else. And that's the real goal of that, is not offending not only the weaker person, not offending the person that's offering you the food, but what they're trying to lay out is, we need to be very careful to know and understand our duty, yet they should not by needless inquiries perplex themselves. In other words, create a problem. If they're not volunteering the information, don't worry about it. And to the weaker one, he goes, well, you know, that is it possible that came from there? He says, well, does it look like it came from there? Well, I don't know. Looks like regular steak to me. He says, well, eat of it. But if you have a problem with it, don't. You know, and that's the thing. Some people are so perplexed that it creates a quandary for themselves that they put themselves in a bind. It's what they really comes down to. They're just trying to, you know, let their conscience, you know, not allow them to enjoy life. But, you know, think about entertainment. You know, some entertainment is, you know, turn your mind off and just observe. Other entertainment is there to let you relax and enjoy and have what's there. Do we draw the line at some of the types of entertainment? Yeah, we definitely will draw the line at some certain types of entertainment. There are others that a weaker Christian may not want to go there because they came from that. Like I said, we had a friend of ours back in Connecticut. He would not listen to any music that had words to it. You know, when he was in church singing hymns, that was one thing. But, you know, when he was alone, all of his music was classical music, very, you know, words that didn't have words as such. And it would let him just kind of let him ignore what his past life was, because he came from a very rough, you know, motorcycle gang, violent activities. And he was not going to be tied down with that. So his life was such that, you know, he was very cautious in doing what he did, so he didn't prejudice the conscience of others. And that's something that we need to keep in mind. We don't want to prejudice the conscience of others. And somebody may say, well, why don't you do that? So, well, you know, I used to do that kind of stuff. I just found that it wasn't for me. Alcoholic beverages, like I've said before, I spent quite a study personally searching out what those words meant, because wine means different things. Strong drink means just that, fermented beverages. Some people will be very belligerent about, I'm not going to take of that because I'm a recovering alcoholic, and boy, they just really ram it down your throat, why they want to do it. Or somebody else came out of some type of lifestyle that if they partook of this, it might cause them to want to be back there. Just like a drug addict. That's a good example. Another example is somebody being drawn back into that type of lifestyle. And I've known people that had a very good testimony, but their lifestyle was in the drug culture, and somehow or another they just got weak and got drawn back into it, and now they're completely out of that. You know, and it's sad when we see people that were walking with the Lord that this one thing got them under control again and just took them completely away. Doesn't mean they lost salvation. It just means they were no longer walking as the Lord wanted them to walk. And it's sad. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out here too, is we need to just not make it so that it's difficult for others. In other words, we don't want to prejudice somebody's conscience. We want them to think for themselves, but yet we also want to think of how they are and who they are. And so for conscience sake, did I go way back here? Oh boy, I went way back for some reason. I must have punched a whole bunch of buttons. Sorry about that. Conscience, and then keeping a clear conscience. Do not ignore your conscience or other believers' conscience. And that's one thing, because oftentimes our conscience may tell us, if we're prayed up as we should, you should not be here because. And that can affect others. And it's important. The real of all this is, are we glorifying the Lord? Are we glorifying God in all of our actions? That's what we're put here for. We're here to glorify God. And that's important. You know, verse 31 says, whatsoever ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That should be our foremost thought of this. Am I going to glorify God in doing this? Well, it may not be something that you would think that wouldn't glorify God, but it says, whatsoever ye do. So that means, you know, going to the grocery store, going to get your car filled up with gas, walking up the street to pick the mail up, you know, whatsoever you do. And it's important. Our walk is important. And what we need to be is what the Apostle Paul was pointing out. I'll put this down here so I'm not punching buttons. He gave us examples. And if you took them individually, they could be very complicated. But it boils down to, will it glorify God in what I do? And what impact will it have on the testimony? The question is what does it mean to glorify God? Anybody want to throw out what it means to glorify God? Lynn? Exactly. To honor him. To whatever we do is honoring to God. Is it, you know, is it our speech? Is it our actions? As a family, when we're together as a family? Because that affects our children. When we're visiting with friends, you know, it's always kind of a, I won't say a joke, but, could you be convicted of being a Christian? You know, do your actions, would they convict you in a court of law? Would you be, say, you are guilty of being a Christian? And right, wrong, or indifferent, but that should be our goal. Are we glorifying God? Whatever we do. And the other is, how does this verse affect your understanding of the verse? In other words, you know, when you think about whatsoever you do, you know, eating, drinking, or just doing, you know, our daily life, you know, what effect, you know, is on our life about this, and it's important to think about that. The the whole of this, it says, give no offense neither to the Jew or to the Gentile or to the church of God, even as I please all men and all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Glorifying God is going to draw people to the Lord. How you live your life. You know, I worked with men that, you know, they obviously weren't walking with the Lord, and I'd go on business trips with them, and they wanted to know, why are you the way you are? And I look at them, you know, what do you mean? He says, well, you never get overly upset about things. You kind of take things in stride. You always got your Bible. Like, okay, well, open it up, go read that. You know, that's the opportunity. You know, we love the Lord, and whatever we do, the Apostle Paul's trying to get us that we are we little Christ? Are we a walking example to those around us? And you know, he pointed, you know, going into cities, he would go to the Jews first and preach to them. And he still attended many of the feasts and stuff. In fact, when he was going back to Jerusalem, he took a vow, you know, and wanted to make sure that I was raised a Jew. Yes, I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is where he was shown in the Old Testament laws, and he was trying to show them that. He says, all that stuff we're doing back there is for him right here. And he says, even as I please all men and all things, and people were offended by what the Apostle Paul was teaching, because they did not want to accept the fact that without the Lord Jesus Christ, they were going to hell. And he made no bones about it. That's why today many people look at us. Well, you preach on hell. Yeah, we do. Well, you preach about sin, and that's not good. Well, you know, the Bible talks about sin. You know, you always teach about it, you have to give. Well, guess what? How do you think church continues? That, you know, it's gonna go forth, but what he's trying to do, he says he's not seeking his own, you know, wealth and fame. He's looking, he says, profiting, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. So he's looking at others. Will my actions cause somebody to not accept the Lord? We have a lot of people today that walk around that boast about what they have. And they're driving people out of church and away from church. Or they're in there, and once they get people in, they get them in their clutches, or like some churches, there's no commitment. Oh yeah, come join our church. And next thing you know, they're not being taught a thing. And that's the saddest thing in the world, to be called a church and not teach salvation by faith. Not to teach people that what they do affects others and affects the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul's trying to point that out here, that is the real goal, is are we glorifying God in everything that we do, such that, you know, do all to the glory of God. And as a result, if we're doing that, then we're doing what we're supposed to do. If it offends somebody, well, then it offends somebody, because it means that Satan's got a hold of them really good, and they're not willing to let go. And we, as we live our life walking through this world, you know, as a Christian, we ought to ask, you know, how can we glorify God? If his planned course of action would dull his testimony or hurt a fellow believer's walk in the Lord, he would glorify God by relinquishing his liberty out of love for others. If the planned course of action would enhance his testimony and edify a fellow believer, we would glorify God in pursuing it. Those are some, you know, two sides of a balance, I guess, if you want to put it, for us to think about. Is it going to glorify God, or is it going to offend somebody? And sometimes, well, we offend people because of our lifestyle, and they're not willing to step in. You know, Paul went in and you know, he was teaching. Ephesians 2:16 says, as he was saying, to that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby. And for Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And as we just go more and more, pastors going through in the book of Romans, and so many of what's in the Corinthians, he was teaching to the Romans, he was teaching to the Ephesians, he was teaching to Philippi, and all those, that they were consistent. And that's one thing about this. If we focus on the Bible, that it's going to be consistent in our actions as we go through. God will work out with the Jews during the tribulation time, but yet, as many as possible, we should seek to get saved. Like it says, you know, the rain falls on the good stuff and the bad stuff. You know, we get the blessings. God's blessings falls down on everybody. And during that tribulation time, well, his wrath is going to fall down on everybody that's on this earth at that time. Thankfully, the church will be taken out. And our testimony will no longer be there. Although, those that didn't know Christ, didn't accept him, our testimony will linger with those. And they'll go, man, what they told me was the truth. So we pray that our actions will be such that it will draw others to the Lord and not chase them away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for